Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Christ Jesus. The gospel is the power of God to save. The gospel is alive forevermore. The gospel is God's ability to save and to change and to transform the lives of men. Hallelujah. All the way we stick with the gospel, because the gospel is the only answer to humanity's problem. The gospel is the answer to humanity's problem. The gospel is the answer to the sin problem. It's the solution. Nothing else in the world of man can solve the problem of human depravity. Hallelujah. Nothing else in this world. Not money, not fame. Not, you see, a lot of folks who are rich and famous and they've achieved a lot of things in the world. They are successful by the world standards and yet do not have Jesus. They are battling such emptiness in their souls. Such emptiness. Hallelujah. You know why? Because Jesus is the bread of life and is the water that you partake of and you'll never thirst again. Hallelujah. So the gospel is the answer. No matter what you have on the external, the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of what he has. No matter what you have on the external, no matter what you have in this world, all your achievement and successes are extra innate. Only the life of God within a man is innate. Hallelujah. So your life is not in those things you have on the outside. Your life is within. Praise God. And you see, the life of man cannot be satisfied by material things. You know why? Because man came from God. Man came from God. Man was made. Hallelujah. You see, the only part that was formed from the dust is his body. So you can make your body feel good by the things of the world. You can put some clothes on your body. Bible says your life is more than food. And your body is more than clothes. Hallelujah. You made your body came from the earth. So you can try to adorn your body with natural things. But the soul of man came from God. Hallelujah. The soul of man came from God. So it takes something immaterial. It takes something beyond the material things of life. It takes something beyond that which is found in the earth, in the world, to satisfy the soul of man. So if your soul came from God, only God can satisfy your soul. Hallelujah. So the gospel is the answer. The gospel is the answer now and forevermore. Romans 1:16. I've quoted this over and over again on this broadcast. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God to save. In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith to all that believe. The man that believes in the gospel is given the gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. Consequent upon believing, you are made righteous in the sight of God. Righteousness is not something we struggle to attain. It is something we receive in the gospel. Hallelujah. And I would to God that we give to men this gift of righteousness via the gospel. I would to God that we are serious and consistent and committed to the dispensing of the gospel message. Because this is the only answer. Hallelujah. Each time I say on this broadcast or anywhere I stand preaching the gospel of Christ, each time I say the gospel is the power to save, I'm trying to jolt men into a consciousness of the fact that this demands a commitment. Hallelujah. We have to arouse this truth. We must show the world this reality, because men are not going to hell only because they have not received the gospel or they are adamant or stubborn. Men are going to hell because many of us are not preaching. Hallelujah. Many of us are not preaching. So a lot of people are going to perish with their sins forgiven. Jesus already paid the price. So the gospel is the answer. Let's go out and declare it. Today is a Saturday. And then if you also go to work on Saturday, find time again today. Find time out of your schedule today to make sure you preach the gospel to somebody. Hallelujah. And make it the culture every day of your life. Share the gospel with at least one person daily. And let's save the world from depravity, from the damnation that is, you know, pending. Glory to God. So I welcome you to another episode on Everyday with Jesus podcast. This is episode 117, preaching the word of faith and power. Okay, so we've been seeing what to do if and when I sin as a Christian. And then we've seen that the Christian must acknowledge his righteousness in Christ. When you fall into sin, you must not fall into self-condemnation also. Self-condemnation or guilt, sin consciousness, is even worse than the act of sinning. Hallelujah. So, a moment of mistake should not define your entire life. Your identity is constant. It is hid in Christ Jesus. Bible says Jesus is our life. Colossians 3:1-2. Christ is our life. Hallelujah. We are the righteousness of God in Him. So you don't define yourself, define your life. You don't pick your identity from a moment of mistake. Your identity is found only in Christ and what He has done. And then I said also that you must learn to silence the accuser with this knowledge. You must arm yourself with this knowledge. You must arm yourself with this knowledge, with this fact. Praise God. With this fact of your identity. So that when the enemy brings accusations and, you know, accusations into your thoughts, into your mind, you're able to resist those things and silence every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Next thing I said, as a step you must also take, is that you must make a deliberate and intentional effort to repent. Praise God. Repentance is not the same as asking for forgiveness. I've not told you to sit down and be saying, Lord, please have mercy on me. Shower me with your mercy. Please receive me back again. You didn't leave. He never left you. I'll never leave nor forsake you. I'll give you another helper, a comforter who would abide with you forever. So there's no such thing as, Lord, please never receive me back again unto yourself. There's only one reconciliation. It's done once. Hallelujah. There's only one reconciliation. The moment a man receives the gospel, is reconciled with the Father, the enmity is broken once and for all time. Isaiah 54. We've seen this in this teaching also. Reconciliation is once. Hallelujah. This is what we refer to as once saved, forever saved, which some do not understand and they criticize and fight against. But this is Bible revelation. Praise God. This is Bible revelation. That once a man is reconciled with the Father, the enmity is broken once for all time. And he has become a friend of God. Hallelujah. So repentance is not pleading for forgiveness or asking for mercy. Repentance is walking away from the influence of the world, walking away from idleness, you know, staying away from the word of God, to now paying attention to God's word. So repentance is a process of renewing your mind afresh. The reason why you are behaving the way you are acting, you know, contrary to the will of God, is because your mind, your thought pattern has been dominated by worldliness. Hallelujah. And it's quite amazing that you don't need to, listen, it's quite amazing that you don't need to even be willing to be influenced by the world. You don't need to be willing to be a bad person, in quote, to be influenced to walk contrary to the will of God. You just need to let down your guard. Hallelujah. A very good lifestyle as going to your work, place in the morning, coming back at evening time and having some rest, eat some food, watch a movie and go and sleep. You're not fighting anybody. You're not beefing anybody. You're not an enemy to anyone. You're a kind, easy going, nice person. That is still a very terrible lifestyle. Very terrible lifestyle. Hallelujah. A lifestyle void of a culture, a dutiful culture of feeding on the word of God and praying is a terrible lifestyle for the Christian. It is not safe. Yeah. Say me, you know, some in my language, you say me, mo bata ni kokonje, give me mo robi send body. See, awon yon robi see. Hallelujah. I'll give you an interpretation of that for those who do not understand my local dialect. So some will say, I think no evil about anybody, and then, you know, I just go my own way. I have not destroyed anybody's life. And then the truth is this: while you are not thinking evil towards others, others are thinking evil towards you. Praise God. You are in a world full of darkness. Bible refers to you as the light of the world. Take away your influence and your impact. Take away the church from the world. The only thing left is darkness and gloom. Hallelujah. Darkness. Utter darkness and gloom and doom. Praise God. So, you are in a world that is unsafe. You are in a world that, see, your security is hinged on your commitment to Christ. Hallelujah. So, such an easygoing life, niceness, being kind to people, you are gentle, you don't fight anybody, you go void of commitment to God's word and to prayers, is still a bad and a terrible lifestyle for you as a Christian. You must have a culture of constantly renewing your mind with the truth of the word of God. Next, I spoke on how it's important to surround yourself with the right influences. That is, if you want to detach yourself from old habits, you must detach yourself from old associations. Old companies of, you know, friends, associations, people that influenced you before you met Jesus. You can't stay in the midst of people like that, dwell in their midst, and expect to move on, to make progress in the Christian faith. Though your life is changed, though Jesus has saved you, you keep acting like an unsaved person because your mind is still being yielded to the influence of the world. And that is very important. So I'll take it a step further today by showing us how, when we say that you ought to renew your mind and all these things, don't be thinking of doing these things yourself. Hallelujah. And this is where a lot of Christians are actually missing it. I'm stuck with an habit. You see, I've been struggling. I've been doing this. I've been trying. I've been this. Okay, so what have you been doing? I tried to pray. I tried to study. Then it's not work. See, the truth of the matter is you need help. You need somebody to hold you like this and walk you through a process. Hallelujah. You need help. The process of renewing your mind is not something you are meant to start doing for yourself or by yourself in that state of weakness. You need somebody who is strong and can hold your hand and help you attain the same level of strength. Praise God. That's why, look at this. The Bible makes a distinction between believers, a strong distinction, very clear one. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You who are what? Spiritual. That is, those who are mature. Those who are mature, restore that one person in a spirit of gentleness. Now, the restoration is not about telling the person, don't do it again. I'm so disappointed in you. I'm highly disappointed. And then you just shout on the person and, you know, condescend on the person. It says, in a spirit of gentleness, lest you also be tempted. Now, that word restore in the Greek is the word katatizo. In the Greek, katatizo is spelled K-A-T-A-R-T-I-Z-O. Katatizo is the word that means to repair and to mend. So, it's not a one-time thing. Hallelujah. Many times when people walk up to me and say, I've been struggling with this habit, and I say, well, just come for teaching. I've been struggling. I don't know. Come here, sit. Let me teach you the word of God. Hallelujah. Let me spend time revealing to you from the word of God your identity in Christ. Let me walk you through a process of indoctrination. Hallelujah. A time of prayer together. By the time I'm through with you, you will have gained strength and mastery over those habits. In fact, you will have forgotten you had the habits. Glory to God. So, that's what we're talking about. Restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Katatizo. It means to repair, to mend. It's a process. Hallelujah. That's the same word used in Luke chapter 6 verse 40 by Jesus. He says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but whosoever is perfectly trained like him shall be like him. Whosoever is perfectly trained shall be like him. A disciple is not above his teacher. What makes a disciple begin to walk and to act like his teacher, like his master, is perfect training. In fact, the KJV just says, whosoever is perfect like him. And that's the word that means to train, to discipline. That's the word katatizo. It means to mend, to repair. There's a process. Hallelujah. So, it's not a one-time thing. That's why when we say, keep coming for teachings, keep coming for meetings, keep coming for teachings, keep coming for meetings. We're not trying to just, you know, fill up the church. We're not trying to grow church in number. The truth of the matter is you need a sound teaching of God's word. Hallelujah. You need a sound presentation, a sound teaching of the word of God. You need a sound teacher of the word of God over your life. Hallelujah. At that point where things have become so critical and you are struggling to get out of a habit, things have become so critical, you are even doubting whether you are saved or not. At that point when it feels like you are stuck and there's no way else, you need a sound teacher of the word of God. Fast. You must find yourself a sound teacher of the word of God. Somebody who can restore you. Hallelujah. The restoration is not from being unsaved to being saved. The restoration is from your walk in unrighteousness, your walk in carnality to walking in the spirit. Your walk in the flesh and fulfilling the lust of the flesh to walking in the spirit. To being stuck with worldly affections, worldly lust, to being, you know, to bearing the fruit of the spirit. That's the restoration. Glory to God. That's the same word you find at Hebrews chapter 13 verse 21. to restore, to mend. Let's see this quickly. Hallelujah. So it is not something you go and busy yourself trying to, in your weakness, and then you begin to try to feed on the word of God. You begin to try to pray. You know, sometimes in the midst of the so-called attempt to pray and to study the word of God, people fall back into those habits because they are not strong. Hallelujah. You need somebody who is strong enough to hold your hand and walk you through a process of restoration, a process of repairing, in the which you become straightened in your walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews and chapter 13. Look at this now. Hallelujah. Katatizo. Hebrews 13. Glory. Hallelujah. I'll read Hebrews 13 and verse 21. Look at how the writer of Hebrews puts this. He says, let me start from verse 20. Now may the God of all peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, God is able to make you complete in every good work. That word complete is the word katatizo. He's able to perfect you. God is able to mend you, to repair you, to a point where you begin to bear good fruits. You begin to walk in every good work. You begin to do his will. Hallelujah. He says, walking in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Now, you must never assume that this is about you trying to just be perfect all by yourself. You're in your house and then you are struggling to be complete in every good work. No way. You can't disconnect verse 21 from verse 17. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13, 17. You cannot disconnect verse 21 from Hebrews 13, 17. How does God make you complete? How does God perfect you? How does God katatizo you? Hallelujah. How does God mend and repair you as a Christian? How does God equip and prepare you for every good work? Verse 17, Hebrews 13, 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you. Have you seen? Hallelujah. Have you seen? There are those assigned to train you. There are those assigned to train you, to discipline you, to mature you, to groom you, to nurture you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You cannot see God. God is invisible to you. God is spirit, but he works through men. Hallelujah. God works through men. So he has assigned men. When he says, may the God who brought up the great shepherd and all that, when he says to make you, may this God make you complete in every good work, you must realize that he makes you complete for every good work through men. Hallelujah. Through men. Men are his vessels. Hallelujah. Listen, if God is the one doing it directly, we won't even need to be coming to church. Hallelujah. You need to come to church. And your life will not suddenly take a drastic turn when you submit to the ministry of a man. If God does it directly, then you don't need to come to church and you will never have a problem with being weak. God is faithful. God will always do. Do you know God has always been willing to work in you what is well-pleasing in his sight? God has always been willing to mature you and equip you for every good work. But the truth is, he cannot do it without the help of a man. It's amazing. That's why if you read Ephesians chapter 4, you see how the Bible puts it. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. When Christ ascended, he had to give gifts to men. Glory to God. Because that was what he was doing while he was walking the face of the earth physically. He was here maturing and training men and teaching men. He was the voice of authority over their lives. His physical presence went a long way. So when he ascended, he gave gifts to men to continue that which he started. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 4 is the same way people don't get saved without the ministry of men. Ephesians chapter 4, glory to God. I'll read from verse 7. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Hallelujah. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. Why has he given gifts to men? Because he cannot do whatever he had been doing on the face of the earth anymore now that he is a life-giving spirit. He has no body, physical body. Hallelujah. Now that he's just completely spirit, glorified in his body, and then he's ascended, he cannot do that which he had been doing on the face of the earth without the vessels of men, without the human instruments. Hallelujah. That's the same way God could not properly represent himself well until he came in the likeness of men. All the prophets misrepresented him in one way or the other. It was not their fault. That was what they knew. Praise God. So, until he came in the flesh, he could not properly represent himself. So, there's something about physical contact. There's something about you seeing a man physically who is responsible for you, who can nurture you in the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. Who can train you, who can instruct you, who can help you in the days when you are weak, who can help you against your feelings. Hallelujah. You know, there are times you don't feel like praying, but there's a man, praise God, there's a man that says we are coming for prayer meeting, and you are there, and then you pray all through. There's a man who says we are coming for Bible study, and then you are there, you are present, and you are studying your Bible even on days when you do not feel like reading your Bible. Praise God. A man who can train you is like attending the gym. Praise God. You attend the gym, you don't feel like lifting anything, you don't feel like, you know, riding on anything, but then they make you do those things because you are present. That's the idea of being taught, being trained, having somebody over your life, having somebody have oversight over your life, somebody oversee your life, somebody who can tend you. Praise God. Your life will change. So if you find yourself stuck with habits, find yourself struggling with habits, then you need to find yourself. You need to find yourself the gift of a sound teacher of the word of God. You need to find yourself a local assembly where you can be taught. Praise God. Where you can be taught. Where we can dust away all those cobwebs from your life. And I do not mean spiritual cobwebs like it's used in the body of Christ today. I'm not talking about the cobwebs from your village or anything. That's just a figure of speech. That is, those habits are the things I'm referring to as cobwebs. You can dust it away from your life. Everything that does not glorify God, everything that is not in agreement or in alignment with the life you have received on the inside, everything that is not compatible with the life you have in Christ Jesus can be shaken off. Hallelujah. Through sound teaching and sound indoctrination, sound training. Praise God. So back to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at what it says. Hallelujah. Look at what it says. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Do you know that one of the things that Jesus came to do was to first train men? Hallelujah. He came to die for the sins of the world. He came to seek and save the lost. But he also came to train men for the work ahead. He came to train men so that the first church, the first gathering, which we refer to as the early church today, the first local assembly, would have men who are able to teach. Hallelujah. That's why he gave instruction to Peter, "Feed my lambs. Do you love me more than this? Tend my flock, teach my lamb, feed my flock," and all that. So, because he had to train men, he had to give men to the body. Hallelujah. He had to send men that were equipped already, that were trained for the work. So you see, there's never going to be a time when we will not be in need of men who are able to teach. That is the order. He gave gifts to men. Hallelujah. For what reason? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. If you notice, if you read through the book of Acts, you notice a gradual development of the church. You notice that at some point, it was just the apostles that were doing certain things. It was the apostles that were teaching. It was the apostles that were even doing signs and wonders. Praise God. You notice that when Tabitha was dead, they had to send for Peter to come and raise her from the dead. But it got to a point, we had Philip, we had Stephen, we had men who were built in the midst. Men who began to rise in the midst. When they asked for seven men full of the Holy Ghost, they had seven men they could present that were not apostles. That is the impact of spiritual training. That is the impact of spiritual parenting and discipline and nurture. Men set over your life to improve your walk with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. To improve your walk with the Lord, to improve your walk in Christ. So you cannot downplay on the place, you know, on the importance and the place of having a man over your life to teach you and to train you and build you up effectively to do the work of ministry, effectively to live the victorious Christian life, effectively to live a life that is not bound by addictions and habits. You need the gift of a man. Hallelujah. You are stuck with a habit, stuck with an addiction. It is because you are not yielding to training as you should. By the time you submit to training, those things are shaken off and dusted off you. Praise God. So when we say, trying to renew your mind, getting off this habit, we are not giving you a task that you should go and be struggling with on your own. You will struggle with it and eventually not be able to, you know, get it done. Praise God. In fact, the only reason why you'll be able to get off any habit, feeding on the word and praying on your own, is if you have been well taught before. Hallelujah. If you've been well taught before, and I'm speaking from experience, you've been well taught, you are still deliberate about the culture of receiving from men. It could be from tapes. But then, there's already discipline instilled in you to go after those things. Hallelujah. Otherwise, in a very weak state as a believer, in which you are struggling to break off those habits and limits, you need to submit. You need to find yourself a place where you can submit to the sound teaching of the Word of God, sound indoctrination of the Word of God, so that in a few weeks and months, you are greatly helped. Hallelujah. You need not to walk around in defeat. You need not to walk around in defeat, you know, living under the weight of sinful habits and addictions. You can be free from those things. Why? Because there's a life within you that is seeking expression. There's a life within you that is seeking to manifest. And that life is what, you know, begins to find expression when you submit to spiritual training and discipline. Glory to God. So, look at this as I close. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Glory to God. I quote this a lot, 2 Timothy 3, 16-17. All scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Have you seen that? So when he says all scripture is given for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, so that we may be complete, it doesn't mean that you are to use scriptures by yourself. We have seen at Ephesians chapter 4 that the men that are set over us are the ones to equip us. The same Paul that wrote Ephesians chapter 4 is the one that has written 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 to 17. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, realize that 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 to 17 was written in the context of Paul teaching Timothy. So it is men that use the scriptures to perfect us. It is men that use the scriptures to equip us. It is men that use the scriptures to equip us for every good work. It is men that use the scriptures to bring us to spiritual maturity. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. Laying aside every malice and evil speaking and envying, and you know, it says in verse 2, as newborn babes, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive with meekness the word from who? Hallelujah. I'm quoting James. James 1, 21. Laying aside every superfluity of naughtiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Where do you receive that sincere milk of the word to grow? From men. Hallelujah. That's why the same Peter that wrote 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 1 to 2 is the same one that wrote 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly. So it instructs men to shepherd the church, to shepherd men, to feed men. That's the same way he himself received the instruction from Jesus. Do you love me more than this? Tend my lamb. Feed my flock. Feed my lamb. Do you understand? Because it is men that bring you to perfection and maturity and spiritual growth in Christ Jesus. So the Christian life, breaking off habits, living the victorious Christian life, walking and bearing fruit of righteousness and the fruit of the Spirit is not meant to be a struggle on your path. You are simply meant to submit to be nurtured and trained and groomed in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Just like we saw in Galatians 6:1. those who are spiritual should restore in a spirit of gentleness. You know, it was from there we went through all these portions of scriptures. Seeing that the word restore there is the word that means to repair and to mend. It is not a one-time event. It is not a one-time teaching. It's a process. It means to nurture, to mend, to repair. Until the work is done, it is not done. Hallelujah. So it is not, don't do it again, don't do it again. Ah, don't do it again. If you do it again. No, it is to train, to keep teaching you till you stop doing it. Hallelujah. And the teaching is not about telling you not to do it every time. The teaching is about revealing to you your identity in Christ and instructing you on how you ought to conduct yourself in view of that. Not just that, a training in prayer. The practical aspect of ministry. We make you pray. We make you go out on evangelism. By the time you do evangelism, you pray regularly, you will forget the habits. So it's a training you must submit to. Don't be too proud. Don't allow ego. You know, there are people today who say they can't be pastored by anybody. They are joking. That is anti-scriptures. You must learn to submit to the gift of a sound teacher of the word of God. Your life will not remain the same again. Don't forget to tune in on Monday. Let's continue this study. Invite your friends, relatives, family members, classmates, colleagues, everyone at all, and let's come together to have a great time in the word of God. Put on your WhatsApp status, social media handles, and let's just come together to have a great time in the word of God. And do have a pleasant weekend, or a great weekend of being full of the word, full of the spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody by sharing the gospel. See you in the next episode.